schus and opportunity we have to learn from Mrs. Horowitz once again. This will be the first part of a two-part pre-Shavuos series. No further ado, Mrs. Horowitz.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for inviting me back to speak at the Boca Raton Synagogue Midrashah, two-part series, as we prepare for Shavuos. I told them last night and this morning, last night I spoke for a show in British Columbia, Canada. It was 10 p.m. our time, 7 p.m. their time. Tonight, Florida. Wednesday night, Baltimore. That's in addition to Baruch Hashem, my local abundance of classes. So it's quite interesting. You could tour the world over Zoom. So Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zocha to resume our learning in person in all the various locations in the right time. So we are preparing for Matan Torah. It's the final 2 weeks of the countdown of Sfirat HaOmer. Difficult, painful times is my understanding that the tragedy in Meiron personally touched the Boca Raton synagogue family as well. And obviously affected Knesset Yisrael all over the world in a very deep, profound, painful, heart-wrenching, difficult way. Chaim Walder, the famous author Chaim Walder, writes in People Speak 12. I believe that's his most recent People Speak. Chaim Walder writes, there are people of color and there are people of sound. There are people of warmth and people of touch. There are people of mind and people of heart. There are people of understanding and people of speech. Each of us stands out in something. But when you find people who are both of color and also of sound, of understanding and also of speech, of mind and also of heart, these are special people. And it is very worth your while to get as close as possible to those people. As we read more and more, the last of the Levias for the Meron Niftarim was today. The 21-year-old from Argentina, who I believe was studying in the Mir. The last four Levias were for foreigners to give the family's time to arrive in Eretz Yisrael. Donnie Miller, Lev Hashem, was buried last night. The boy from Argentina today to give the family's time to arrive in Eretz Yisrael. And as we read more and more about the Niftarim, we are taken aback at how special they were, multifaceted, committed Torah Jews, Midos Tovos, a certain chain. And it becomes apparent that with their passing, there is a terrible gaping void and a terrible darkness. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Hilula is a day of great light. The bonfires represent the transmission of Torah. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai transmitted before he was Nifter, the secrets, the Kabbalah, the Zohar. And yet that great light has been diminished with the patira of these 45 neshamos. The Pasuk tells us in Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, Perek Vav, Pesukim Beis through Gimel, Dodi Yarad Legano, La'agrugos Habosem, Dodi Yarad Legano, I'm going to say the whole thing again. Dodi Yarad Legano, La'agrugos Habosem, my beloved has gone down to his garden, to the spice beds, Lir'os Baganim, to graze in the gardens, Vilil Kot Shoshanim, and to pluck, to gather, roses. Ani ledodi vedodi li haro'ah b'shoshanim, I am into my beloved, and my beloved is to me, my beloved, who grazes and gathers amongst the roses. Ribbono shel Olam on this day came down to his garden. He is our beloved. We are to him and he is to us. To the spice beds, to graze in the gardens, and to pluck beautiful flowers. I don't know if you saw that in addition, yesterday there was a terror attack in Eretz Yisrael with the Meiron tragedy dominating the news. It was just a passing blurb yesterday. It took me four websites today and a lot of searching to find the condition of the injured in the terror attack in the Pigula yesterday. They were waiting at a bus stop at the Tepuach Junction. There was a drive-by shooting. It took me four websites, I'm talking about Jewish websites, to find the condition of the injured. So one 19-year-old remains in very critical condition. It just said my internet connection is unstable. I don't know why that sometimes happens. I hope Hashem will help us have a strong connection throughout this year. Please, Hashem. Please, Hashem. So the 19-year-old remains in very critical condition. The doctors are fighting for his life. Another injured is in very serious condition, which is only a little bit better than critical. And the third was slightly injured. This was a very difficult weekend for Knesset Yisrael. On the great day of Torah celebration, Lag BaOmer, in the garden of the Rashbi at Meron, the Ribbono Shel Olam came to pluck flowers. 45 souls were taken on that day. Someone sent me today, Paula Spodek, thank you. And she said, I know that you don't like memes and video clips, and you're right. I just find it takes too much of my time. I don't usually appreciate when people are of everybody. My time's limited, and I don't like being busy with memes and WhatsApp. But Paula said, I implore you to please watch this 2-minute video clip. It relates to our share of this morning, and I did watch it. It was an interview with one of the fathers who lost two sons, two families, lost two sons each. It was a 2-minute video clip. He was doing a news interview with one of the fathers who had lost two sons, the bereaved father. It was in Ivrit. And he said something very interesting. He said, Hashem took, it's not verbatim, it was in Ivrit. Hashem took 45 souls. 45 in Gematria is Ma. Mem is 40. Hey is 5. And he said, what's Ma? Why did Moshe and Aaron say? I went to look up the Pasuk. It's in Sefer Shemos, actually in Parshas Beshalach by the Man. In Perek Tesvav, Beshalach Tezayin, Perek Tezayin and Beshalach. Moshe and Aaron say, V'nachnu Ma, Kisalinu Aleinu. What are we? We are nothing that you are complaining against us. But he said, famous phrase, Avram said, he is Afer V'Efer. Moshe said about him and Aaron, V'nachnu Ma, we're like nothing. We self-negate before the Ribbono Shel Olam. What are we vis-a-vis God? So this bereaved father didn't say on the screen his name. This bereaved father said that 45 equals Ma, V'nachnu Ma, vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam, his cheshbonos, his master plan, we are nothing. He also said, and someone had actually told me this already, and then I got to see it in the video clip, that he was saying that the time he was in the hospital over Shabbat for those couple of days, he was just davening, Hashem, don't take away my emuna. Please, Hashem, just leave my emuna intact. That was his bakasha. So there's a tremendous void. And I know that we're all suffering, whether you knew the Niftarim, one, multiple, or not. We're all one people. And when part of us hurts, we all hurt terribly. So we have to ask ourselves if there's such a void. The essence of Chilul Hashem is a void of Kedusha. That's what Chilul Hashem is, when there's an absence of Kedusha in our world. So with this absence of Kedusha, what can we do to fill this void with more Kedusha? This past Erev Shabbos, before we even knew the details and the names fully, the extent, Erev Shabbos, the day after the catastrophe, Rabbi Eitan Feiner Shlita, the Rav of the White Shul, he sent out an email, and he said, Al Eila ani bochia, eini eini yardamayim, which is a quote from Megillas Eicha, Tzion cries, Tzion b'mar tivke, Tzion cries, the Megillah tells us. And he said, Al Eila ani bochia, over these I cry, eini eini, my eye runs with tears. Rabbi Feiner wrote, these are tragic, truly catastrophic times. Well, we feel all we can do is cry. And when I was preparing the share, I thought it was interesting because his email said, he then quoted, Ma nomar, Uma nedaber. Ma, of course, has more significance now, given what the bereaved father said. Ma equals 45, Ma nomar. So we could say sort of play on words. It means, what can we say and what can we speak? There are no words, but Ma nomar, what can we say about these 45 kadoshim? Ma nedaber, what can we say about these, speak about these 45 souls? Oh, Rabbi Feiner, inundated by relentless waves of grief, I'm sure you all relate very strongly to what I'm saying, engulfed in indescribable pain. There are simply no words, said Rabbi Feiner, to capture the magnitude of the loss we feel upon hearing the devastating news from Meron. My brother just sent me this afternoon a video clip from the Shiva House in Mansi. I don't know if you saw it. The four Avelim were sitting in the front, and the room was very full of men, and everybody was saying Ani Mamin. It was only 2 minutes, where obviously all feeling terrible pain. And Rabbi Feiner continued, and he said, so many korbanos, the heart-wrenching loss of pure and pristine neshamos taken from us in their prime, the list of the injured so painfully long. And not only that, but one of our most holy and cherished sites, in the midst of what is typically a joyous and uplifting time. Oy, right, Rabbi Feiner, Hashem Yirachim Aleinu, Nistarim Darchei Hashem, the ways of God are hidden. But then Rabbi Feiner continued, and he wrote something very important. My dear Ohavai V'rei'ai, my lovers and my beloved friends, let us not waste valuable time trying to satisfy our innate curiosity to uncover all the details, to determine precisely what went wrong, to lay blame in who were the guilty parties. What is our responsibility, said Rabbi Feiner? Our responsibility lies in delving deep within ourselves to discover what spiritual areas warrant an immediate tikkun, what we need further fixing in, what midos are we lacking and they require rectification. We must wake up. Another pasuk from Shir HaShirim. Pischili, ra'ayasi, onasi, tomasi, kododi dofek. I said the pasuk backwards. I think it's 5-2, Shir HaShirim 5-2. The voice of my beloved knocks. And Hashem is saying, pischili, open up the door. Ra'ayasi, my friend, tamasi, my pure one, yonasi, my dove. Hashem is knocking at the door. Said Rabbi Feiner, we have to wake up. We have to work on ourselves like never before. It's a much longer imam. I'm just quoting a short section, individually and collectively. He said we should not be wasting valuable time trying to satisfy natural curiosity, the details, what went wrong, who was guilty. I'm repeating it. Our responsibility lies in delving deep within ourselves. We must discover, said Rabbi Feiner, what spiritual areas warrant immediate tikkun. And without that immediate tikkun, we're coming up to Matan Torah, just a few days left. And we have to ask ourselves, how can I be misake myself? Because Chilul Hashem means absence of Kedusha. There's an absence of God's Kedusha in this world. So with such a tremendous loss, ma nomar, what can we say about the 45 ma who have been gone? Ma nedaber, how can we understand? We can't. The ma, the 45 who have been taken from us. To Rabbi Feiner, what midos require rectification? We have to wake up when the Ribbono Shel Olam knocks on our door. Kol dodi dofek, the same dodi who goes down to the garden to pluck the roses amongst the spice beds, is knocking. Are we sleeping? We should hear him knocking before such a wake-up call. One second. We must wake up and work on ourselves like never before, individually and collectively. Gemara tells us in Maseches Yevamos Samech Beis Amad Beis, which is a Gemara that I quote constantly during the time period of Spiros HaOmer, particularly as we approach Lag BaOmer and through Zman Matan Torasinu, always with a different approach, so many different pshatim into this Gemara. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yevamos Samech Beis Amad Beis, Amru Shneim Asar Alef Zugim Talmidim Hayula Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of students, Megevas and Antiparos, two cities in Eretz Yisrael, satellite yeshivos, you can't fit 24,000 into one building, certainly not 2,000 years ago. So they went from Gevas to Antiparos, Vekulan Mesu Beperek Echad, they all died during one time period, Vipnei Shalonu Hagu Kavod Zelezeh. So in different shirim, we've given some different interpretations into what that means. We're not going to focus on that tonight. V'hayahu olam shamim. So what is the Jewish reaction? And how is the Jew roused to action when there is desolation in the world? When we face destruction, we are reeling from the death of Ma, 45. So we talk all the time that Rabbi Akiva lost 24,000 students in a short time period. But we don't process, we're so used to the story, and our human mind can't even process what that means. V'hayahu olam shamim. What is the reaction to destruction, to desolation? Al Chabar Rabbi Kiva Eitz or Rabbi Sienu Shibadaram, Rabbi Kiva journeyed to the south of the land, Vishana Allahem, and he taught to the students there. five new students, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Vehem heim emidu Torah oso sha'a. And those five, quite compelling that we don't know the names of the 24,000 students, not even one name, but the name of the five, you know, all their names. Vehem heim emidu Torah oso sha'a. Shlosha dvarim ha'olam omeid. Omeid ha'emidu Torah. I'm saying the Mishnah out of order also. Shimon HaTzadik says that upon three things the world stands, Torah, today Avodah, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is Tefillah, and Gemilas Chasadim. So it was these five who mamash upheld the world at this time. They all died, the Gemara continues, Tana, Tana, Tat. They died from Pesach to Atzeres, which is this time period of Sfiras HaOmer. Atzeres is the biblical name for Shavuos, when you stop counting, La'atzar. So that's Yom Tov of Shavuos. What did they die from? It was a bad death, says the Gemara. What was the death? Askra. For tonight's year, I want to particularly focus on one of the five new students. Who was one of the five of these students? Rabbi Shimon. Who is Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So God came into the garden of the Rashbi, of the father of the Zohar and Kabbalah and the secrets and Nistarim of Torah, the Nistaros, to pluck his roses, the finest roses, in the spice beds of Meirum. So I want to focus on some lessons from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. These are brothers, fathers, sons, uncles, grandsons, were taken on Lag BaOmer, at Meiron, on the Hilul of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was one of the five new students of Rabbi Akiva. 24,000, they disappeared into the mist of history. You don't live up to your tafkid. We won't even know your name. You live up to your tafkid. You'll go down in the history books as the savior of the Jewish people. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was one of the new students. So the Gemara tells us in Masecha Shabbos, Lamed Gimel Amed Beis, about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The time of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, was a time when the Romans were in control of Judea, of ancient Judea. It was a time of destruction. It was a time of laws that outlawed the study of Torah. It was a time of oppression. So the Gemara tells us in Masecha Shabbos, Lamed Gimel Amed Beis, about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The passage in the Gemara is lengthy. It's also in Aramaic. So instead of me telling the whole thing in Aramaic and translating into English, most of it I'm going to just tell you the English. Some passages I will say in the Lashon of the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, Rabbi Elazar, went and they hid in a study hall. There was a decree that you were not allowed to learn Torah. So they went to hide in the Beis Medrash. Every day, Rabbi Shimon's wife would bring them bread and a jug of water so they would have something to eat. When the decree intensified, Rabbi Shimon said to his son, "Ah, nashim date and kalos. You know, women are easily impressionable. I'm concerned if the authorities question, the Romans question mother, she might reveal where we are hiding." So they realized they could no longer hide in the Beis Medrash. They went and they hid in a cave. A miracle occurred. A carob tree was created for them, as well as a spring of water. They would remove their clothing. They would sit covered in sand up to their necks. And Rashi on the Gemara says, why would they sit covered in sand up to their necks? They only had one set of clothing. They didn't want it to become dirty. They only would come out of the sand, but they wanted to be tzenua. So they would only come out of the sand for tefillah. And they would don their clothing, and then they would go back, cover themselves up to their necks in sand to learn Torah. They would remove their clothes and sit covered in sands up to their necks. They would study Torah all day. At the time of prayer, I just said this, they would cover themselves with dress, pray, and they would remove their clothing so they would not become tattered. They sat in the cave for 12 years. And it's compelling that he was one of the new students of Rabbi Akiva because they learned for 12 years before they came out for the first time, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Akiva sat in the Beis Medrash for two sets of 12 years. It's interesting that the life of Rabbi Akiva revolves around sets of 12 years instead of just saying 24 years. The Gemara doesn't say he had 24,000 students. It says he had 12,000 pairs. The famous story brought down the Gemara and the Medrash that he first learned in the yeshiva for 12 years and then another 12. It's just tell me 24. No, it revolves around 12. Interesting. Maybe I'm losing to the 12 Shvatim, the Shiftei Kla, who found the Knesset Yisrael. So you could say in the Torah of Rabbi Akiva, every Jew is represented. They sat in the cave for 12 years. Eliyahu Navi came after 12 years and he stood at the entrance to the cave. And Eliyahu Navi, again, this is not a story. Masecha Shabbos, Lamed Gimel, Amad Beis. And Eliyahu HaNavi said, who will inform Bar Yochai that the emperor died and his decree has been rescinded? So in other words, you can come out of the cave. Nifaku, they came out of the cave. Chazu Inashe, they saw men. Deka Karvi Vizari, they saw people plowing and sowing your farming. But Armin, they said, Manichin Chaye Olam, the Oskin Bechaye Sha'a. You're leaving Torah, which gives you Chaye Olam, life in the eternal world. Again, it says internet connection's unstable. Hashem, please help me. I know, Tammy, I'm freezing. Is most of the shiur okay, or am I constantly freezing? It's most of it's okay. It's not. Sometimes it's. I said in the beginning, I hope soon we could learn in person. I'll come to Florida. Joking. I mean, I'm not really joking, but in the right time. But I'm not in charge of the internet. So please ask Hashem for the duration of this year. It should be okay. Please, Hashem. So we could share Torah and bring up the Kedusha in this world. Manichin Chaye Olam, ve'uskin b'chaye sha'a. They're involved in Chaye Olam. They're leaving Chaye Olam. Torah brings you to Olam Haba and Schosev and Schar, and you're busy with Chaye Sha'a. You're plowing, you're planting, you're weeding. Who cares? Kol makom shenosnin einehen miyad nisraf. Wherever they looked, it was immediately burned off, burned up. Whatever they looked at was burned. Yatzut sabas kol va'amra lahem. A heavenly voice emanated and said to them, lahachriv olam yatzasem. You came out of the world, out of the cave, to destroy my world. People have to plow, they have to sow, they have to go to work, they have to pay the bills, they have to put food on the table, they have to grow wheat to make the wheat into flour, to make flour into bread. This is the way of the world. You came out of the cave to destroy everything. Chizru lema'araschem, go back to your cave. Hador azul itvu tresar, yarche shata. They went back to the cave for another 12 months. And then they said it's time to come out. What was their reasoning? Amri, Mishba Rishayim B'Gehenem Shnei Masar Chodesh. The worst Rasha gets Gehenem for 12 months. Can't be worse than the worst Rasha in Gehenem. So if the worst Rasha in Gehenem gets 12 months banishment, we could come out. Yatzitza Baskol V'Amra, a heavenly voice emanated and said, Su'umi Ma'araseichem, you could come out of your cave. Nefako, they came out. Kol Heicha Dehava Machi Rabbi Elazar, Have Mesa Rabbi Shimon. Everywhere Rabbi Elazar would look, he would burn up. And Rabbi Shimon would heal it. So the father would heal. The son is still in a madrig where he's burning everything up. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, this is after 13 years in the cave, 12 years plus one, would heal everything. Amar lo, and he said to his son, Bini, my son, Dai la olam aniva ata. It's enough, my son. The level of me and the level of you is enough for the world. Not everyone could be on this level. I've come to realize that people need to plow and sow, S-O-S-E-W, the fields and the clothing, S-O-W, and they need to work, and they need to make food, and yeah, sometimes we need to be involved in Chaye Sha'a, as long as it's with the intention that it's to bring me to Chaye Olam. Continues the Gemara. Bahadei Panya Demale Shabbata. The sun was setting on Shabbos Eve. Chazu Hahu Saba. They saw an old man. Dehave Naki Tre Madane Asa Virahe Pinashmashos. He was holding two bundles of myrtle branches, and he was running. At twilight, Benesh Mashos. Amrule, so they said to this old man, Hanei Lamala, wow, where are you going? You're in such a rush, it's Erev Shabbos, where are you going? Amraluhu, the Kavod Shabbos. So the man said, where am I going? Myrtle branches, I too went to the garden to pluck flowers. I'm running for Shabbos. The Kavod Shabbos are my flowers. Visige Lach Bechad, so Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, isn't it enough to have one? Why do we need two branches? Chad, what's the answer? Chad keneged zachar, chad keneged shamar, or coming up to Matan Torah. A Matan Torah in Parshas Yisro, and in Parshas Vaschanan, Parshas Yisro, Perachav, Pasachaz, Zachar, Semer Shabbos Akacho. And in Parshas Vaschanan, Shamar, Semer Shabbos Akacho. Zachar is the mitzvahs ase of Shabbos, and Shamar is the mitzvahs los ase. So Zachar, you have to remember Shabbos with special clothing and special food and special tefillos and time basically make their special karbanos. Shamar, you should not light a fire in all of your dwelling places. Don't do the lametes malachos on Shabbos. Don't speak about business on Shabbos. So there's two aspects to keeping Shabbos. There are what we call, I don't like the words. I'm not even going to use the, I don't like positive and negative. There are the mitzvos ase, which correspond to Zachar, and the mitzvos los ase, which correspond to Shamar, Parshas Yisro, and Parshas Vaschanan, respectively. So the man said, no, I need two twigs. One is to honor Zachar, Shamar, Shabbos, Kacho, and one is to honor Shamar, Shabbos, Kacho. Amar Le Livrei, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said to his son, Chazi kama chaviv in mitzvos al Yisrael. We were burning everything up, but he went down to the garden to pluck the roses in honor of Shabbos. Look how special chavivin, how endeared the mitzvos are to Kal Yisrael. Look at what a man does to honor the Shabbos. Isva da'ayitu de'atayu das. Their mind was cool. Their minds were put at ease, and they were no longer burning people up and upset that people were engaged in chaye sha'a. That's what the Gemara tells us about Rishon Bar Yochai and how great his level was. He was on a different level than everybody else. For him, he could sit in the cave and sand and eat carob, I don't know, once a day, twice a day, and drink some water and engage in Torah study. And from here, this cave, came the greatest secrets of Torah. That's what we celebrate on Lag BaOmer. That's what the fires represent. So they came out and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai understood that the Hamon Am takes the mundane and makes it holy. Our responsibility is to fill a void left by Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem is a reduction of Kedusha in the world, a reduction in God's holiness in this world. That's the greatest consequence of Churban, Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's such a Chilul Hashem because there is such a drastic reduction in the presence of the Shechina amongst us. Shechinta begalus, and not only are we in galus, the Shechina is also in galus. And when we're in galus and the Shechina is in galus, there is a terrible Chilul Hashem. I mean, Soloveitchik speaks about this, isn't me telling you my own thoughts, because there's so much of a reduction in Kedusha. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, after another year in the cave, again, it's very interesting, again with the 12, he spent 12 years in the cave and then 12 months in the cave. It doesn't say he spent 13 years in the cave. It doesn't say he said 12 plus 1 year. 12 and 12 months. What's Rabbi Akiva? 12,000 students? 12,000 students. How long did he learn in the yeshiva Rabbi Akiva? 12 years and then 12 years. And we see the same by his Talmud, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. I don't know, maybe Itaka represents, I didn't see it anywhere, I don't know. Maybe it represents the Shiftei Ka, who represent the future of Torah. Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed called the Shvatim around. He wanted to reveal the Kates. He wanted to reveal the end. It was taken from him. He couldn't reveal the end, but he gave them all a bracha. When a person lives up to the kochos within themselves, you come closer to Torah, you increase the Kedusha in this world. Maybe all these sets of 12 represent the Shvatim, and that every Jew, we're all part, I know this, also Shvatim Ben Mas, we're all part of the Shiftei Ka. And we all have the koach and the capability to utilize our talents to the maximum as part of the Shiftei Ka, to increase Kedusha in this world. And that's our tafka, to take the mundane, to take myrtle branches, to take roses, to take the chicken, the basar v'dagim, the yayin, the challah for Shabbos, and to make it holy. I saw, brought down by Henny Machlis, a word in the name of Rabbi Zev Lef. For those who learn with me on a regular basis, you know that Michal Haaretz loves Rabbi Zev Lef Shir. So Henny Machlis quotes a verse by Rabbi Zev Lef, which is very geschmack. Rabbi Zev Lef says, if they spend 12 years learning in the cave, right? They're learning Torah. So they're like real masmidim. And they come out and they're burning people up. Everywhere they look, they're burning people up. So Hashem should say, says Rabbi Zev, go sit on the beach. Put your feet up. Go to the spa, go out for lunch, get a manicure, relax. You should learn more Torah. You learn so much Torah, you come out, you're so holy. Now you have the secrets of the Zohar, which you're going to transmit to your Talmidim before your death. You're burning everyone up. What does the Gemara say? I read it to you before. Kol makom shenosin einehim yod nisraf. Armin manichin chaye olim va'oskin b'chaye sha'a. That's what Torah did. They're so holy that they're burning everything up. You can't plow, you can't sow, you can't eat, you can't shower, you can't shop for clothing, you should only learn Torah. So the Baas Kol comes and the Baas Kol says, "La'achriv olami atzasem, you came to destroy my world. Chizu lamar aseichem, go back to your cave." So Rabbi Lev says, why did God say go back to the cave? If you learn Torah and you come out and you burn people up, you should take a vacation. No. If you learn Torah and you come out and you burn people up, it doesn't mean you learned too much Torah. It means you didn't learn enough Torah. If the end product of all your Torah learning is an inability to understand other people, if all of your Torah learning leads to intolerance, if all of your Torah learning leads to everywhere you look, miyad nisraf, that you can't empathize with others, you can't understand others, it doesn't mean you learned too much Torah. It means you didn't learn enough Torah. Because you don't understand that Rachel Darchi Noam v'chonesivos Sarah Shalom. So go back to the cave. Stay there another 12 months because you don't know the message of the Shiftei Ka. What a psha, what a chiddush. If you learn Torah and you burn people up, it doesn't mean you learned enough Torah. It means you didn't learn enough Torah. It's interesting that it's the Rebbe of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Akiva, who teaches us the Klal Gadol B'Torah. Well, the Torah teaches us the Klal Gadol B'Torah. But the Tana, Rabbi Akiva, darshans that it's the Klal Gadol B'Torah. Who is Rabbi Akiva? The Rabbi Av, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Of course, what I'm quoting is all well known to you. Perek Yotas, Pasuk Yod Ches of the Book of Vayikra. Lo sikam v'lo sitar aspenei amecha, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha ani Hashem. You shall not take nakama, nor shall you bear a grudge against your fellow members. I am God. Very short Rashi. Parashas Kedoshim. Parashas Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem elokeichem. What's Kedoshim? Increase Kedush in this world. What's Chilul Hashem v'lo sichalu Hashem kachi v'nistakdashli v'toch b'nei Yisrael? Vayikra 22:32, Parashas Emor. We just read it. Don't make a chilul Hashem. Don't diminish Kedusha. You want to be Mekadesh Shem Shemaim, so you know what it means? Don't burn people up. You're such a masmid geshmak. Not everyone's on your level. Some people need to plow. Some people need to farm. Some people need to sow. You don't know that? Go back to your cave. You didn't learn enough. If you think that's the message of Torah. And it's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's teacher, Rabbi Akiva, who lost the first 24,000 Talmidim, who teaches us love for your fellow what you love for yourself. Zeh kol gadol b'Torah. That's what the Torah is upheld on. That's what the Torah stands on. Says Rabbi Feiner, these kedoshim were taken . What do we have to do? We don't have to worry about the details. Certainly not why it happened. Nobody knows why it happened. Only the Rebbe Shalom knows why it happened. Who's to blame? It was a gzeira. But one thing we do know, what do we have to do? Sorry, Rabbi Feiner. What midos do we have to be misaking? So we're coming up to the Yom Tov. It's my matan Torosinu. Vayikach ha-sefer bris, vayikwa ba'aznei ha'am. It's very easy to remember that one, 24/7. Why Shmos 24/7? Because 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you have to say Nasa V'Nishma to Torah. So when we said Nasa V'Nishma, it involves two aspects. Of course, we have to be strong in Bein Adam L'Makom. We also have to be strong in Bein Adam L'Chaveru. Amar Rabbi Akiva, you want to know what you need to for Torah? Klal Gadol B'Torah. Love for your fellow what you love for yourself. Rav Soloveitchik tells a story about his great-grandfather and his namesake, Rav Yashar Ber Soloveitchik of Brisk, the father of the great Rav Chaim Brisker. So the Rav says, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik tells us, a story is told about Rav Yashar Ber Brisk, the Beis Halevi, more commonly known after his sefer and chumash, the Beis Halevi, 1820 to 1892 for your reference. So this was the Rav's great-grandfather. You have the Beis Halevi, Rav Yashar Ber Soloveitchik, his son Rav Chaim Brisker, his son Rav Moshe, his son Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik of Boston and Yeshiva University, commonly referred to as the Rav. So the Rav says, a story is told about Rav Yashar Ber Brisk. It was one Erev Shavuos. So Hashem helps me, obviously, put my shirim together. This story relates to the Gemara and Matan Torah. It's one Erev Shavuos. Remember, what cooled Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's mind? The man running with the flowers. One Erev Shavuos, says the Rav, late in the afternoon, Rav Yashar Ber Brisk, the Beis Halevi, was on his way to shul. One Erev Shavuos, late in the afternoon, he was on his way to shul. He noticed a flower stand that was still open. Somebody selling flowers. So I've quoted before in other shiurim, but maybe you heard me say in Hawaii Torah, but Rabbi Zev left Shlita, Moshe Matityahu, he says that Shavuos is the end of the count of our 49 days. It's the Acharis, it's the end. We begin on the day after Pesach, and we count to the end. Achoris, says Rabbi Leff, is an acronym for the customs of Shavuos. Aleph stands for Akdamos, Ches stands for Chalav, Resh stands for Rus, Yud stands for Yarek, greenery, and Tav stands for Tikkun Leil Shavuos. So these are the customs of Shavuos, says Rabbi Leff. It's the Achoris, it's the end of the 49 days of counting. And it reminds you what the customs are. Akdamos, Chalav, Rus, Yarek, greenery, herbage, and Tav is Tikkun Leil Shavuos. So let's go back to the story. A story is told about Yasha Ber Bris, says the rabbi, about his great-grandfather. One Erev Shavuos, late in the afternoon on his way to Shul, he noticed a flower stand that was still open. He went over to the woman who was selling the flowers, and he said, "My dear, it is late. Excuse me. We will usher in the Yom Tov of Shavuos pretty soon. Why don't you go home to your family?" The woman answered, "Yes, Rabbi." This is how the rabbi tells it over. "But I haven't sold any flowers." The count sent in a wagon loaded with flowers, and everyone brought greenery, yarek, from the count. In fact, his flowers and his branches, the old man's running with two twigs, his flowers and his branches are much better than mine. What shall I do, Rabbi? The holiday is coming. There's nothing in my house, no food, no wine, no candles. I have nothing to look forward to on this festival. Rav Yasha Ber told the woman to step aside. It's Shavuos. It's Ma Matan Torah Seinu. Rav Yasha Ber Salvechik of Brisk, the father of Chaim Brisker. We're talking about Go'onei Olam. Rav Salvechik says about his grandfather, he revolutionized Torah learning, the Brisker method of Torah study. Good luck, lady. I'm going to the cave to learn. No. If that's what you think Torah is, you don't know enough Torah. Yasha Ber told the woman, step aside. And the Beis HaLevi took her place and began to announce aloud that there were flowers for sale. How beautiful the flowers were. This is brought down in Abram's Journey. Not making it up at all. Page 107 to 108, if you have the Sefer. And Rav Yasha Ber began announcing how beautiful the flowers were, how tender and green the twigs and the leaves. Bahade panya demali shabata chazo hahu saba dehava naki tre madani asa virahi benishmashos. They came out of the cave and they saw an old man running with two myrtle branches, and it's benishmashos. And they said, "Where are you going?" He said, "It's for Shabbos. Why not one? I need one for Sachar and one for Shamar." And their minds were cooled because Jews want to honor Shabbos with flowers. And Rav Yasha Ber said, "Please step aside, Mantari Adina." That's not the story, I made that up. He took her place and he began to announce aloud how beautiful the flowers were, how tender and green the leaves and the twigs were. People suddenly encountered a strange scene. The world-renowned rabbi of Brisk and his festival garments, it's Erev Shavuos, is zealously selling flowers and charging exorbitant prices. Go look it up. I'm not making it up. Of course, if the Beis HaLevi was selling the flowers, all the flowers were sold quickly, despite the prohibitive prices. Says the Rav, after he tells the story about his great-grandfather, whether the story is true or untrue, the fact that such a folk story is told is indicative of the demand the Jew makes upon his own conscience as regards to Kedusha. The Rav sees this as a story of Kedusha. What did we say Kedusha is? Kedusha is filling a void of Chilul Hashem. What's Chilul Hashem? When the holiness of God is diminished in this world. What is our tafkid? Atem tiyuli mamlachas kohanim v'goy kadosh, Shemos 19:6. The prelude to Matan Torah. You know what it means to be a goy kadosh? It means to enhance God's presence in this world. And how do you do that? Only by sitting in your cave? Only by writing the Beis HaLevi? Not only. By empathizing with others. By understanding others. By helping others. By remembering that Rabbi Akiva said, the great principle of Torah is love for your fellow, what you love for yourself. Says the Rav, quote, whether the story is true or untrue, so he still tells it over. The fact that such a folk story is told is indicative of the demands the Jew makes upon his own conscience as regards to Kedusha. In other words, quote, to help someone in distress, you must sacrifice not only your money, you must sacrifice your very dignity. To help another Jew sometimes requires us to sacrifice our pride. The Beis HaLevi, Rav Yasha Ber, standing on the street corner, in his Shabbos, Yontif, I should say, finery on Erev Shavuos, is selling the Yarak. This conception, says the Rav, is not a product of tzedakah. It's a product of kedusha. To help others is not only an ethical act, but a great experience through which you come one or two steps closer to the Almighty. Perhaps the greatest tikkun, I don't know. None of us know absolutely. Whoever says they have all the answers, one Hasidic Rebbe said, if I understood God, I would be him. But it was a chilul Hashem. And the very most profound definition, it's there's a diminishment of Kedusha when 45 pure Neshamas, B'nai Torah, children, were taken from us on the day of intense Kedusha. So how do we counteract that? Perhaps one way to fill the void left by the Niftarim, the void that is felt by their families, their kehilos, their friends, yeshivas, communities, the void that is felt by the land of Israel, Tzion b'mar tivka, Tzion cries, because the holy stones are spilled at the head of every street. And the Midrash says, what are the holy stones? Vane kodesh tishpechena, avosh kol chutzos. What are the holy stones that are spilled, says the Midrash? B'nei Torah, Talmidei Chachamim. At the time of Churban, the precious gems, Talmidei Chachamim, are compared to precious gems. They're spilled at the head of every street. I saw a picture of the bulletin board at the mirror. Four notices. So we have to find within ourselves the path to Matan Torah that includes each other. The path to Matan Torah that includes each other. If we're burning people up with our ideas, with our leitzanos, with our judgments, with our intolerance, that's also fire. And if everywhere we look, we burn up, then God says, you didn't learn so much Torah that you need a vacation. You didn't learn enough Torah. That's the very last Rashi to Parshas Yisro. Last Rashi to Parshas Yisro. Parshas Yisro is the Parsha of Matan Torah. And right at the end of Parshas Yisro, right at the end, the Torah tells us about the Mizbeach of Adama, Mizbeach of Anim. When he built a Mizbeach of stones. That's just doing a Parshas Yisro. It's a story of Matan Torah. Perek Yates is the prelude to Matan Torah. I quote a pasuk from there already. Perek Chav is the Maseres Adibros. We spoke about Zachar and Shamar. And now you're telling me about the Mizbeach. Last pasuk of Parshas Yisro, the Parsha of Matan Torah. V'lo sa'ale v'ma'alos al Mizbechi. You should not ascend. The Mizbeach had a ramp. Remember my Mishkan book, for those of us who, or you have your own Mishkan book. Mizbech HaNechoshes had a ramp. When the Kohen would go up to tend to the Korbanos, he didn't climb up on steps. There was an incline, a ramp. Lo sa'ale b'malos al Mizbechi. You should not ascend in steps onto my Mizbech. Why not? Asher lo sigala ervascha alav. Because that's the last words. You should not reveal your nakedness. If you go in steps, the way you walk is not sanua. The Kohen wore a robe. Yes, there were mechnasayim, breeches under the robe. And we don't want to see your nakedness. You shouldn't show the steps of the Mizbeach your nakedness. You shouldn't show the steps of the Mizbeach your nakedness. Really? So Rashi says, Sha'al yidei hamalos ata tzarich laharchiv psiosecha. If you go on steps, you need a if you go up a staircase, you need a broader steps, wide steps. And even though it's not mamish gilui erva, because they were wearing mechnasayim, nevertheless, when you take broad steps, it's symbolic of revealing the nakedness that's under the robe of the coin. And you shouldn't make a bizayon of the mizbeach. Last Rashi, Parshas Yisro. V'harei dvarim kal v'chomer. This teaching is really just a kal v'chomer. Uma avanim halalu she'em behem das lahakpir al bizayonan. These stairs, don't get embarrassed. They don't care. Amra Torah, ho il v'yesh b'hem tzorech lo sinhag b'hem min ha-bizayon, since they have a need, you shouldn't act with them in a condescending, humiliating manner. Last words of Parshas Yisro. Chavercha shuhu b'dmus yotzarecha, when it comes to your friend who is created in the image of God, u'makpid al bizyono, and he cares about his humiliation, al achas kama v'kama. How much more so we must be careful to treat him with respect. The pasuk tells you don't go up in steps. And Rashi says don't embarrass the steps. Don't uncover your nakedness. You embarrass the steps. Steps don't care. Rashi says, let me tell you, it's really a kavachomer. What do you learn from the fact that you shouldn't embarrass the steps? That shouldn't embarrass the mizbeach. That doesn't get embarrassed anyway about your nakedness because it doesn't care. It's an inanimate object. You know what you learn from here? Your friend who does care about his kavod, who does get embarrassed, al achas kama v'kama. You should take care not to embarrass him. And Rabbi Yaakov Bender says in his book on Chumash that perhaps that's why that's the last pasuk and last Rashi of Parshas Yisro, which is the Parsha of Matan Torah. The final lesson that we're meant to learn of Parshas Yisro is Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. If God is worried about uncovering nakedness and causing a bizayon to the Mizbeach, which doesn't care, the lesson is your friend who does care, who will be embarrassed. How much more so do we have to be makbid on his kavod? I'd like to have 1 to 2 more minutes. I don't think that there's a speaker after me. Is there a speaker after me tonight? There is a speaker after me. Oh, I didn't know. Okay, so then I won't end with what I wanted to say. So, Azrat Hashem, we should be zochah to fill the void. We should be zochah to make a kiddush Hashem. We should be zochah to our simchas. In this world, there are no answers. So instead of asking why and what and how and whose fault, so Rabbi Feiner, we have to work on ourselves. And the path to Matan Torah includes others. Azor Hashem, Mishu Sher Besoros Tovos, V'Yeshuos, I thank you all for learning with me. Have a wonderful evening and enjoy the next speaker. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Horowitz. We continue now with the